The reason we're practicing meditation is in order to see clearly, in order to understand ourselves and understand reality. The idea being that our suffering, the problems that we face in our lives, are because, mainly because of our misunderstanding of reality, the misunderstanding of ourselves. Our misunderstanding, our inability to understand or to see things clearly, causes us to do so many things in that lead to our own detriment and to problems for other people. The reason why we get angry and fight with other people, the reason why we're greedy and we want and we feel jealous or envious, or we find underhanded ways to make money or to get ahead or to get what we want. It's all because we don't understand the truth of our experience and the truth of our life, the truth of life. So we do these things thinking that it's going to bring us happiness. We get angry and upset thinking that if we hurt someone else, it will bring us happiness. And then we suffer and feel guilty and fall into all sorts of conflicts and general unhappiness. So what we're trying to do is to see and to understand, to allow us to let go and to live our lives without greed, without anger, without delusion. To have a clear mind. This is what it means, vipassana. Specifically, it means to see that everything that we experience, all of the things that we cling to, all of the things that we are averse to, that we don't like, the things that we think cause us suffering, and the things that we think bring us happiness, are actually impermanent, unsatisfying, and uncontrollable. Means that they can't bring us happiness. They don't bring anything to us, whether it be happiness or suffering. They only arise and then cease. It's the things that we hold on to and get attached to or upset about, thinking that they're going to last, they actually don't last. They actually come and go in a heartbeat. We're going to see that they're therefore unsatisfying. You can't be happy holding on to the things that you cling to, because then they disappear. And you can't fix the things that are unpleasant, because they also are impermanent. They come and they go according to their causes and conditions. And they're uncontrollable. You can't force them to be otherwise. You can't force them to stay. You can't force them to go. And by doing so, this is what leads to suffering. So this is what it means to see clearly. This is what we're trying to do. Sometimes when we practice, it might at times not be peaceful at all. And we might feel like this kind of practice is unbeneficial for us. Something that actually brings suffering. Because we're forcing ourselves to look at the unpleasantness inside of our own minds. For instance, even just sitting here right now, you might find that you have some measure of discomfort. Maybe you're sitting on the floor and your back hurts or your legs hurt, or maybe you're bored or dissatisfied with having to be here and listen to this. There may be many kinds of dissatisfaction or discomfort. And the reason why there is this discomfort, the reason why there is this suffering, this pain and this unhappiness, is directly because, as the Buddha said, because of our clinging, because of our misunderstanding, because we don't see things as they are. We can't just be with reality. Let it come and let it go. Instead, we want it to be something else. Oh, it would be better like this, or it would be better like that. If only I could be like this or be like that. So this is why we're practicing. We're not practicing just to feel happy all the time. We're practicing to let go so that we don't need to feel happy all the time. We can be happy no matter what comes. So the question is, how do we practice to see clearly? And the Buddha taught us that in order to see clearly, we have to use the four foundations of mindfulness, or the four satipatthana. So the four satipatthana, this is going to be our technique of meditation practice. And this is what I'm going to go through. So I'd like everyone to get into meditation position, and I'll just lead you through it, and we'll be kind of guided in the beginning. The four satipatthana in Pali, they are Kaya, Vedana, Citta, and Dhamma. This is the Pali terms. So I'll explain them in English and then show you how to practice. Basically, to understand the four satipatthana, you just have to think of yourself. Think of everything that makes up yourself, makes up who you are, everything that makes up your experience of the world around you, and your thoughts and your ideas and your mind states inside of you. Every experience, it's all caught up in these four foundations of mindfulness. So all we're doing is separating it out into parts to make it easy to acknowledge. So Kaya, Vedana, Citta, Dhamma. Kaya means body. And the first object of our meditation is going to be our own body. This is because the body is an obvious or a coarse object. It's one that is easy to find and easy to pay attention to because it's quite big. It's quite obvious, quite apparent. Whereas focusing on the mind is quite difficult because the mind has no physical form. So when we focus on the body, what we're going to actually see is the nature of our own mind. The first thing we have to do is to focus on the body in order to learn how our mind works, in order to train our minds to just see things clearly. Even the body can be a source of great suffering. Right? Just sitting here, you might find that your body is bringing you great suffering. Maybe you're hungry, maybe you're thirsty, maybe you're hot, maybe you're cold, maybe you're stiff. All of these things can cause great suffering in the mind because the mind isn't clearly aware of the body, isn't seeing the body just for what it is. So we need something that will help us to change that, to make the mind see the body just as it is. And the way we do this, as we do with all of our practice, is to use a word, or I like to call a mantra, because many people know what a mantra, I've heard of mantra. Mantra is generally regarded as a special word that focuses the mind on some special object. But here we're not going to use a special word, we're just going to use any word that describes the object that we're looking at. And we're not using a special object, we're just going to use any object that arises. The difference is that we're going to focus on reality. We're not going to focus on something that we imagine in our minds, like a light or a color. We're going to focus on ourselves. So when you're sitting still, I assume all of you are sitting here, the first thing you can focus on is the fact that you're sitting. What position is the body in? The Buddha said, when you're sitting, just know to yourself, I'm sitting. Nissino va nissinom hiti pajanati. When sitting, one knows I am sitting. So what we do is we have this mantra, just reminding ourselves, I am sitting. or to make it quite simple, we say to ourselves, sitting. And you can actually repeat this to yourself every second or so. Sitting, sitting, and try to just put your mind on the body, on the position of the body, being aware that you're sitting. Sitting, sitting, and you'll find that this focuses the mind. It also clears the mind up, so the mind is no longer liking or disliking or judging things. It's now simply aware of something, aware of the sitting posture, and this is mindfulness. The mind is fully aware. Another thing the Buddha taught us to be mindful of is the breath, anapanasati. So we can focus on the body in regards to the breath, which is at the stomach. When the breath comes into the body, your stomach will rise. So this is both mindfulness of the breath and mindfulness of the body. This is a common meditation object. Because of this, it's both anapanasati and kaya nupassana. So when the stomach rises, we can just be aware that it's rising. Say to yourself, rising. When it falls, say to yourself, falling. Rising. Falling. So I just get everyone to try this now. Close your eyes. And either focus on the fact that you're sitting, saying to yourself, sitting, sitting, using this mantra to focus the mind and create clarity of mind. Or focusing on the breath, rising, falling. If you feel hot, you can say to yourself, hot, hot. Or if you feel cold, you can say, cold, cold. This is all physical. If you feel stiff, you can say to yourself, stiff, stiff. The mantra, the word, is just to focus the mind and to clarify one's awareness so that the mind doesn't fall into liking, disliking, judging, clinging, or identifying with the object. It's simply objectively aware of the object. So we'll try that now together. The important thing to note is that you're not trying to force the object, or you're not trying to force the awareness. You're just trying to learn and trying to observe. So in the case of watching the stomach, what's going to happen is it's going to teach you to let go. Because in the beginning you'll be trying to force, trying to control, trying to keep the object smooth and clear and rhythmic. And you'll realize how much suffering it is to try to control and to try to identify and cling to the object. And eventually the mind will let go and simply observe. But in the beginning it can be quite uncomfortable. You have to understand that we're trying to teach our mind to let go. So the mind has to see how much suffering comes from clinging first. This is why it's unpleasant in the beginning, until the mind learns how to just observe and not cling. So don't be discouraged just because it's unpleasant in the beginning, watching the stomach and saying rising, falling. Once the mind lets go, it'll become much more comfortable and pleasant. The second satipatthana is called vedana, which means feelings. So once we begin to focus on the body, one of the first things to become readily apparent is our feelings, sensations, painful feelings, pleasant feelings, calm and neutral feelings. And we'll find that because of these feelings, the mind still gives rise to clinging, liking, and disliking. So we have to be mindful of the feelings as well in order to keep the mind from clinging, to teach the mind just to watch. We have to teach it to watch the feelings as well. So when you feel happy, or when you feel calm, or when you have pain, you should be able to see clearly each of these, without clinging or avoiding the good or the bad ones. So when you feel happy, just remind yourself, this is only a happy feeling. As the Buddha said, when you feel a pleasant feeling, you know it's a pleasant feeling. This is a pleasant feeling. So we just say to ourselves, happy, happy, reminding ourselves it's only a happy feeling. Because when you cling to it, because it's not permanent, you will always become unsatisfied when it disappears. So when we say to ourselves, happy, happy, we can still enjoy the happiness, but we don't cling to it. And so when it's gone, we're not upset, we're not disappointed. Same thing when we feel painful feelings. Normally it's unbearable, intolerable, unacceptable. And so we try to always find ways to run away or to chase away or to be rid of the pain. And so half of our experience, the painful side of our experience, becomes unbearable. And this is why we have so much suffering in our lives, because we can't bear with certain experiences, ones that bring pain or discomfort. And we're taught that this is this is proper, that we should run away. We're taught to run away from these things, to avoid them. And so we're taught to avoid half of our life. Taught to feel upset, to feel disappointed, to feel unhappy because of these things. So what we have to do now is to unteach this idea, to teach ourselves that pain is actually acceptable. When you have physical discomfort, it's actually not a negative state at all. It's just a state, an experience. And when you can do that, then you can accept all of experience. When we feel pain, we just say to ourselves, pain, 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 slowly opening up, coming to accept and let go, let be, let the experience be what it's going to be. And when we feel calm, the same we can say to ourselves, calm, calm. I'm just experiencing the feeling for what it is. Slowly removing the liking and disliking from our minds in favor of just experiencing it for what it is. And we can try this now, and when it disappears, after the pain disappears or the happiness disappears, come back again to the stomach or to the body, focusing on sitting or rising, falling into stomach. But when there is a feeling, don't worry about the stomach or the body anymore. Focus instead on the feeling until that feeling goes away. Again, not trying to make it go away, but just experiencing and learning and coming to understand it for what it is. The third satipatthana is the mind, citta, which means the mind. And by this time the mind should already become at least somewhat clear, or quite a bit clearer than it would have been before you started meditating. Once you sit down and begin to meditate, the mind by itself becomes quite clear. And so we can't ignore it. We have to include it in, and this is getting on to the more important side of the meditation, is to learn how the mind works and to train the mind. What you'll find from practicing in this way is that the mind is actually quite untamed. So our practice, according to the Buddha, is to train the mind or to tame the mind. As the Buddha said, jittang dantang sukha vahang. It is the trained mind that brings happiness. So here we have to tame or to train our minds. Instead, we find that our minds are scattered all over the place, thinking 1,000 different thoughts a minute. So again, we're not trying to force or control, because that only leads to more suffering and stress and repression. We're just trying to learn and to understand and to let go and to let be, so that our minds don't chase after experiences and don't run away from experiences, but just observe and be aware. So we observe and we're aware of our mind whenever a thought arises, whether it's a good thought or a bad thought about the past or the future. We're simply aware of it as a thought, and we say to ourselves, thinking, just knowing that we're thinking whenever we're thinking. Once we say thinking, it should disappear. It's quite quick to disappear, because now our mind is occupied with being aware. And then we come back again to the stomach or to the body, rising, falling according to the breath, or sitting if the stomach isn't clear. Whenever a thought arises, just go back to the thought, catch it up, Be aware of it. Focus your mind. Create a clear awareness of it. Thinking, thinking. And then come back to the stomach. Rising, falling, or the body sitting, sitting. Some part of the body. We always come back to the body because it's, as I said, it's the most obvious object, most readily apparent. The fourth foundation, the final satipatthana, is called Dhamma. And Dhamma here refers to the teaching of the Buddha. So what this means is that once you're focusing on these things, you begin to focus your attention on wholesome and unwholesome states of mind and focus on the elements or the components of reality. And the first Dhamma that we have to focus on is the Nivarana, the mental hindrances. These are teachings of the Buddha that the Buddha taught. These things are a hindrance to our meditation practice and to our progress towards understanding things clearly. So I'll just start with these today because this is introductory. You can read about the other dhammas that we have to develop and have to understand in the Satipatthana Sutta. But most important for a beginner meditator are the five Nivarana, the five hindrances. So I'll give you simple names for these, and then whenever they come up, you can just identify them, remind yourself, and see them clearly, and not cling to them. These are liking, disliking, drowsiness, distraction, and doubt. Liking, disliking, drowsiness, distraction, and doubt. So when these come up in any of their different manifestations, just try to observe them and see them objectively and clearly for what they are. Don't follow them or cling to them or encourage them or feed them. When you like something or you want something, just say to yourself, liking, liking, or wanting, wanting, either way. When you have disliking or you feel angry or frustrated or bored or sad or depressed or afraid, just pick the emotion that arises, this whatever negative emotion it is, and just say to yourself, disliking, disliking, or angry, angry, bored, bored, scared, scared, depressed, depressed. until the emotion goes away. We're not trying to make it go away or to force it or cling to it, because that would only create more hindrance. When you don't like being angry, it creates more anger. Just be mindful of it until it goes away by itself. Now that you're not feeding it anymore, it will eventually go away. When you feel drowsy or tired, you can say to yourself, drowsy, drowsy, or tired, tired. When you're distracted, your mind isn't focused and you're thinking a lot, unable to stay with a single object, this also is a hindrance. You can say to yourself, distracted, distracted, and your mind will focus again. When you're worried, say worried, worried. When you have doubt or confusion, say to yourself doubting, doubting, or confused, confused. And in this way, anything that comes up, you can be mindful of it. And by being mindful of it, you conquer it. This means any experience, any situation you find yourself in, any problem or difficulty, by using this technique, you're able to overcome the stress and suffering that would otherwise arise. So let's try them all now. We'll put all four of these together and try to be mindful of them all as they come up. Okay, so this is a basic introduction to the practice of meditation. Now, I'm happy we can just continue to meditate here together. But in case anyone has any questions, I'm also happy to answer them whenever you'd like to ask. Okay.
It's not really a question, on the good side.
Yes.
My heart was beating quite fast, so I was just concentrating on the heartbeat because I could feel it more than anything else. And no matter how much I concentrated, it just kept beating. So it wouldn't calm down.
Yeah, that's fine. I know some meditation teachers will warn you not to be paid too much attention to that sort of thing because you'll actually encourage it. But I don't think it's really a problem. As you watch the heart beating, you'll see that you can't control it. It's clear from your explanation that your practice is fine, that that's a perfectly valid practice because you're seeing anicca, dukkha, anatta, most especially anatta, that you can't control it. Because normally we think that somehow by focusing on it we can trigger some kind of response that's going to make it stop. But now we see that that's actually not the case, that it's out of our control. So it's a valid meditation, and it will help you let go. In the beginning, you might be afraid of the heart beating, thinking that you might be getting sick or you might have a heart problem or so on. And once you focus on the fear, saying afraid, afraid, and you focus on the heart, and eventually you see that it's not under your control and you let go. So it's perfectly valid. Yeah. So there you go. Now you have verified the Buddha's teaching that anatta is the truth. This is important because it's our misunderstanding that leads us to try to control just everything in our lives, really. So here, by focusing back on ourselves, we're learning an important life lesson that will help us to stop trying to control our lives, to control other people, to control events. It will help us to learn to let things be and let things go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Venerable Sir, can you, in our first session, you talk about sound of, say, a barking dog, and how to differentiate it, just the sound, not the someone's barking or. So you brought up an example there. So can you explain it again, for the benefit of the group here?
Sure. I was referring to the difference between concepts and realities. Now, this is really what makes this meditation different from other kinds of meditation in other religions or even samatha meditation in Buddhism. In samatha, you focus on a concept. So one popular one is to focus on the Buddha. When we chant the Buddha's name or even iti piso, this is called Buddha Anusati, mindfulness of the Buddha. Or we can focus on a light or a color, or even a dog or a cat could potentially be an object of contemplation. Some people in other religions focus on God. So these are all things that we create in our minds. You create an idea of the Buddha or the dog or so on. And this is very much what we do on an ordinary day-to-day basis. When you hear something, immediately you think of it as a dog. You hear a barking sound and immediately you think of a dog, even if in the computer, if you have a computer sound file that plays a dog barking. It's actually not a dog barking, it's just a computer sound. Even the sound of my voice, is what you're hearing isn't me talking, it's the computer repeating. But it's all based on little electronic signals. So what's created in the mind, all of this is just concepts. As a result, it can't help us to understand reality. If you focus on the idea of the dog, you're just going to give rise to identification, clinging. Maybe it's your dog and you're worried about it. Maybe it's someone else's dog and you're angry because it's barking. Maybe you're afraid because you don't know what the dog is doing or if it's going to attack someone. And so we give rise, this is a very clear example of how we give rise to so many different unpleasant mind states and unwholesome mind states. When we focus simply on the sound itself, then we are clearly in the realm of reality. Right? What we're focusing on is what's really there. And it stops at the ear. So when you hear the sound and you say to yourself, hearing. A good example is when people are arguing with us, or when your parents or your family members are saying things and talking on. Sometimes people talk. Sometimes people say nasty things to you, call you nasty names. It's a perfect example because you know there's nothing else, there's no benefit in listening and in taking to heart the things they say. It will only make you angry and upset if you do that. So whether it's someone talking about useless things or whether it's someone who's saying nasty things, when you say to yourself, hearing, you're only aware of the sound. And your mind might put together, this means this, that means that, they're calling me bad names and so on. But the mind doesn't have any clinging to it in it. There's no partiality. There can be simple recognition that this is this, that is that. But you don't react to it. Something you can try when someone's saying things that you don't, or even when I'm talking right here and now. The best way to listen to the Dhamma is to say to yourself, hearing, and to be clearly aware of the Dhamma, of the truth. Because all of the words I'm saying are only concepts, and the best I can do is to try to encourage you and teach you how to go back and look at the sound of my voice or look at any piece of reality. So when you say to yourself, hearing, even right now, you'll be able to, even listening to the Dhamma, come to realize the truth that the Buddha taught. This is how people became enlightened in the time of the Buddha, even when listening to his teaching. Because he would teach them how to see the reality of the sound and of the four satipatthana, the body, the feelings, the mind, what was going on in that moment. And allow them to see what was really true and what was really real. So it's important in our meditation to not focus on concepts, to focus on the ultimate reality of the experience. This is true for life as well, because what leads to suffering, what leads to conflict, what leads to problems, is all of our projections and extrapolations. When we hear a sound and then we judge it in some way to be good or bad, and we identify with it. When we see something and we like it or dislike it, we think it's mine, and when it breaks or disappears, we are upset because we thought it was mine, and so on. So that's a very important part of the meditation, a very important thing to understand. And it helps us to understand what is it that we're actually practicing here, what sort of meditation we're practicing. Okay?
So we have another question.
Uh-huh.
So, Ajit, this is kind of a practical one. So when I switch from the Anapanasati to walking meditation, I have a tough time trying to focus on my feet touching the ground. It automatically goes back to the sensation at the nose, tip of the nose. So I'm wondering how best to handle it.
Well, the sensation at the nose is a reality as well, no? So in that case, we're not trying to force the mind to be one place or another. If your mind is used to being in a certain place, then focus on that place. But the important thing is to focus on the reality. Don't focus on the breath going in or out, because that's just conceptual. The reality is the sensation. So it might feel hot or it might feel cold. There might be pressure or tickling sensation. Whatever that sensation is, you can just acknowledge it as it is. When you feel hot, heat, you can say to yourself, hot. Or when you feel cold, you can say, cold. The easiest is just to say to yourself, feeling. Noting the feeling that arises and ceases. Feeling. When you do this, you'll find that the attachment of the mind to the nose is diminished. So what you can do is once you've stopped and you're standing still, focusing on the nose, saying feeling, then you can send your mind back to the feet and start walking again, and walk a little bit, and then your mind will go back to the nose, stop again, go back to the nose. If you do this enough, eventually your mind will be able to focus on the feet. When you're walking, your mind will be less attached to one object or another, and will become more dynamic, and be better able to focus, to switch focus, and to focus on any object it chooses. But in the beginning, it's common for meditators for the mind to be attached to a specific object, for example, the nose.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I want to make something clear, so we don't have to go in a certain order when you try to practice four foundations. Only we have to focus on the most prominent object at the time, is it?
Yes. When it can happen that there's more than one object one object in your awareness, you don't really even have to think of which is most prominent. Pick one that seems prominent to you, the most obvious object. If there's nothing prominent, go back and look at the body again. Notice that you're sitting, or notice the rising and the falling of the stomach, or the sensation at the nose, say feeling. But no, the Satipatthana, some people misunderstand and think they should be practiced in order. First the first Satipatthana, then the second Satipatthana. And this is a grave misunderstanding, because then you will never be focusing on the hindrances until much later. But the hindrances you have to practice at the same time. When you're watching the stomach and you have liking or disliking, then you have to say to yourself, liking or disliking. So there's no order. We pick the body only because it's the most obvious, but when something else arises, you should focus on it instead.
So, then we have to finish it now?
Okay, so we can take a moment to make a wish, no? Before we finish, we can close our eyes and make a dedication. Make a wish for yourself to be happy, for ourselves to find through our practice and through the clarity of mind that we gain through our practice. May we be free from suffering, free from enmity, free from dangers, free from sickness. May we find peace, happiness, and freedom from suffering. And may our parents and our families and our children and our loved ones, may they also be free from suffering. And so on, may they be happy and well and find peace and bliss. And all beings, may they be, whether they be our enemies or people we don't even know, may they also be free from suffering, free from danger, free from all kinds of misfortune. And may they find peace and bliss and happiness.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate your practice. See you next time.